Well, life on the farm, I kind of laid back, ain't much an old country boy to be cane hat. Early to rise, early in the sack, I thank God I'm a country boy. Well, a simple kind of life never did me no harm, raising me a family and working on the farm. Days are all filled with the needs of country charm, thank God I'm a country boy.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another Bring On The Podcast. I'm Aaron Alley, joined tonight by Derek Smith and our special guest from the West Virginia blog, Smoking Musket. We've got what's your name again? What do we call you?
WVUIE97.
WVUIE97. A lot of letters
just
in there.
Just call me IE, or you can call me Mark. That's fine.
Okay. All right. I wasn't sure. Anyway, let's just, jump right into it. Got West Virginia coming up this week. You guys have been a little kind of schizophrenic this year, which West Virginia team are we going to see on Saturday? The one that lost to Maryland, or the one that went out and has played some impressive games, beat Oklahoma State?
I don't know. that's the million dollar question that the coaches are trying to answer. I can't. There's been no indication one way or the other, week to week, which one you're going to see the following week, because it's been hot, extreme highs, extreme lows. This past week was a somewhat of a happy medium, despite the end result and the way we played in the fourth quarter. But it seemed to be more of what the team is capable of as an overall. So hopefully we'll see more of that, and even more so the Oklahoma State type. And we actually played decent against Oklahoma as well. That was except for the offense. The offense had some shooting themselves in the foot problems, but we've been pleasantly, I don't know, it's not even pleasantly, we're just schizophrenic, as you said, and it's frustrating, but I just made the comment earlier that if you would have looked at if most reasonable fans before the season, if you had asked them where we'd be at this point, they'd probably pick the same record as we have right now, just without the crazy scores, maybe.
When you guys are a lot like K-State, having to replace an irreplaceable quarterback, you've tried three different ones. We've only got the two. So how's that going for you?
It seems like we've got it narrowed down to two at least at this point, and most likely trick it going forward. The redshirt freshman Ford Childress, he tore his pec against Georgia State the first game he played, and then made it even worse during the Maryland game, and then he seemed to be and he was out for a while, out for the Baylor game and the Oklahoma State game, and the week off, he seemed like he was making progress as far as healing, but then he aggravated in practice, and the last word we have, he's out indefinitely. So we're down to Millard, who has the most experience in the offense, and then Trickett, who probably brings the most to the table, but still doesn't have enough experience in the offense to make it work the way it's supposed to work. So we're just grasping at straws at this point.
Clint Trickett taking a break from his NASCAR career to be here.
Yeah. You're not the first one to notice that.
Well, I haven't watched a ton of West Virginia this year. I don't know, Derek, have you got a chance to watch them at all?
I watched the entire Oklahoma State game, and it was fantastic. Okay. I mean, it was a mess, but it was fantastic.
The
clock management issues there at the end. I was so hoping that Holgerson would spike his Red Bull can along with his headset and just, make a huge mess on the sidelines. But yeah, other than that, I tried to watch a little bit of the Texas Tech game, but I was getting ready for a wedding this weekend, so I didn't get to catch much of that.
Don't you hate fall weddings?
Yeah. Who does that?
My sister, apparently, this year. So I'm going to miss the Kansas game because of that.
Yeah.
That's and I'm terrible. Not real happy.
Yeah.
The Oklahoma State game, that was glimpses of what could be this year. And we're just still just haven't found that consistency we need yet. And in my a lot of things I see begin up front course, that's just about any team. But our offensive line has just been woefully inconsistent at this point, and if that doesn't improve, then I don't see how the quarterback's going to be expected to improve much either. So.
Mm-hmm. It just seems like you guys, you do one thing really well each game, and you can never carry it over to the next game.
Yeah, like exactly.
Against Oklahoma State, you were really great stopping the run, and then that just disappeared. And, you know, it just seems really frustrating. I mean, I can't imagine how frustrating that must be. I guess we're doing similar things, but it's really baffling. I don't understand it.
The Baylor game, I don't think Baylor's done doing what they did to us to the rest of the league. I still think they've got a couple more of those in them.
Yeah, I just asked Iowa State, right?
Excuse me?
Just ask Iowa State.
Exactly. And like I said, I still think they have a few more in them. Kansas, to an extent, maybe even Texas. I don't know what they'll do again. That's just crazy what they're doing this year. And they just picked a bad year to be one of the top teams, as far, because there seems to be a gamut up there unless we get a couple more upsets this year. I'm hoping they can go and do some damage overall to make the rest of us at least not look as bad for letting them do it to us.
Yeah, I mean, and K-State was able to slow down a little bit, but, I mean, nobody can do the same things that K-State did.
You all got a coach there that just absolutely does some amazing things with not usually the best personnel, and all the respect in the world as far as I'm concerned to him, because it's even if people look at us and say, we've only got K-State coming up this week, we should be able to get back on track. I'm like, not so fast.
Yeah, I mean, so do you believe that, a lot of people are saying that K-State's the best 2-4 team in the country, which is kind of a backhanded compliment, I guess, but I mean, from an outsider perspective, how do you see that?
I haven't heard that, and that's not a slight on you guys at all, but I just haven't.
Okay.
There's been a lot of, I don't know, just we've been more focused on our own woes and roller coasters than to worry about everybody else at this point. So,
yeah.
But I just the little bit that I've seen, Kansas State does worry me as they do. I'm sure they worry our coaching staff at this point. I'm not sure which team you're all going to get facing you, and I'm not sure what we're going to get facing us either.
Yeah. Well, and then, I mean, I watched Western Union Fairmount last year, and I went to the game up there. It's hard to imagine the defense could be any worse. So, how much better are they this season?
They are leaps and bounds above what they were last year. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being where our defense was last year, and 10 being Alabama last year, I'd say I'd grade us on maybe a scale of 6 at this point. We talked about this with the Texas Tech guys last week. We got a couple things going for us that we had going against us last year. One being we've got a more experienced coordinator, not a guy who's just coordinating for the first time. Keith Patterson, and he's experienced dealing with the Big 12 style offenses, and he's good at it. And he has proven track record. The other thing we have going for us is we've got a lot of young guys. There was a lot of freshmen on the 2-deep last year that they've gotten another year's experience, development, maturity. And I think Patterson's scaled down the defense a little bit, made it a lot more easily understandable and more reactable instead of trying to think too much. So it's a matter of developing depth, experience, and like I said, an experienced coordinator makes all the difference in the world at this point.
Do you think that some of the complications of the offense were what contributed to Geno's struggles at the end of last year? Because I watched like the Jets game yesterday, and he looked fantastic. I don't know where that quarterback was last year.
At this point, I'm somewhat of the opinion that as we got in further into Big 12 play last year, at some point, I think he felt like he had to do it all and try to do too much. Mm-hmm. And especially when the defense was as bad as it was last year, and the offense felt like, well, we've got to score on every possession at this point. And that worked against Baylor last year, but obviously it didn't. You get to a point where you try to do that, and the wheels just completely come off. You lose all your rhythm, sense of it. It just throws everything off when everybody feels they just start pressing way too much. And I think that was a boiling factor than anything else.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, unless you're Baylor, you can't just reload and come up with another Tavon Austin at wide receiver. Sorry, how's your group out there this year?
The wide receiver core are serviceable. A couple of the guys have taken several games to get into the flow of things, getting used to what they're expected to do. A couple of them were hampered with injuries. So that set them back even further. We delved into the junior college ranks to get a couple guys to help out immediately, more so than we ever have in the past. And it's helped, but at the same time, we haven't developed any guys coming up through the system the last few years. We talked to Chris from Smart Football here a couple weeks ago, and he brought up a point, which I don't even know that I even realized before, but since out of the 11 or 12 guys, running backs and wide receivers that we recruited over the last 3 years, I think only two of them are still here until we got these JUCO guys coming in this year. So it just, the way this offense works and what it relies on is just constant repetition, 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 and it just gets ingrained in you. That's how Baylor's been able to just plug guys in, because they've just gone through it for 3 and 4 years. Whereas we've got brand new guys this year, and it just doesn't work that well.
So, and defensively, who worries you more, a running quarterback like Daniel Sams or the passer like Jake Waters?
At this point, I would say the passer, because we have shown that we can stop the run, and we did fairly well against a running quarterback with J.W. Walsh, or whichever quarterback it was, who did dates at Oklahoma State. I think it was Walsh. That was a better situation for us, because the passer, which you saw Webb just lit us up again on Saturday.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I don't know how, the biggest thing I think there is we're not getting a real big push on the defensive line, which we're getting a better push than we got last year, but it's still not near what it needs to be. And at this point I have no idea how good or not so good your offensive line is at this point. That's been our biggest
point. Yeah, neither do we really. I don't know.
Yeah. It's a mess.
Because we've been pushed around all year so far. I mean, we've got, I said, less than last year, but we're still getting pushed around.
Do you buy into the whole difficulty of the travel from Morgantown to everywhere else?
No. That's been overblown. We've talked about this on several occasions, and got to meet our play-by-play guy who came into town, out of town locally here in Martinsburg. And with basketball and volleyball and all these other sports that play multiple times a week, it can be a problem. But for football, once a week, it's no big deal.
Uh-huh.
But the only problem he brought up was, like, sometimes the airports aren't exactly close to the location, and they had a delay coming back from Baylor and didn't get back till four or five or six Sunday morning. from that game. But again, at least it's a Sunday and not a Monday, Tuesday, like the basketball team is facing sometime.
Yeah.
So it's like I said, for football, it's not an issue whatsoever, but the other sports, they do have a legitimate concern there, but the Big 12 has done a lot of things to help out with that, because basically, it seems like last year, we just basically inherited all of Texas A&M's schedules.
Mm-hmm.
So
probably won't be seeing any West Virginia road games on a Thursday night anytime soon.
Nah.
So, I mean, how are you know, has this year changed a lot? Are you guys still in that honeymoon phase at all, or are you moved past that?
Our fans right now, they're just frustrated with the record.
Yeah.
But I don't know. For the most part, the people that I interact with and deal with, we love being part of the Big 12, despite our struggles. There are some unreasonable fans out there who are just like, oh, we should never have done the Big 12. Look at what's happening. Well, if we didn't do that, we could be UConn right now. Look at them. They're stuck in the All-American Conference for who knows how long at this point. And,
yeah.
I mean, and that's not such a big deal to them in football, but basketball-wise, they're screwed. I mean, and the revenue, we were already coming into this year, we were projecting another multi-million-dollar loss overall in the budget. We had a record level of donations this year, coupled with the Big 12 money. We came out ahead, and that's only going to get better because we're still only getting half, two thirds, three quarters phased in revenue share until I think 2015.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're on we had two-thirds share this last year, and if you're not aware, the best share we ever got from the Big East before was $8 million. Even getting a half share the previous year from the Big 12, that was over $10 million. So we're extremely happy for where we are right now.
Yeah,
I had no idea $8 million was the best you ever got out of the Big East. Wow!
Oh, you have, yeah. That was the and that was a Final Four year at a BCS bowl.
That is insane.
Jeez. Yeah.
So.
Huh.
That explains a lot.
Yeah, we broke ground on a new baseball stadium, which was badly needed here within the last week or so, and that should be another big boon to the overall athletic programs
But I mean, football team, do you feel like that, you know, they've got a plan for the future that could be successful?
I think we can be successful. It's just everybody knew going into this year it was going to be growing pains, especially losing the three playmakers that we lost on offense I mean, it's not often you can replace those guys fairly easily or quickly, and especially all in the same year. It's hard enough to do it over a 3 or 4 year period, but when you lose all three of them all at once, it's tough. There's a lot of people that said they're not happy with the coaching staff at this point, but I see progress being made. Yes, there's still some issues that need to be worked out, but I still think we're moving in the right direction.
Okay.
Do you get the sense at all that Hogerson's on the hot seat, or is that a bunch of bull?
Oh, definitely. As far as the fan base, yes. Administration, not so much.
Yeah.
Whether or not that the fan base is translating to the boosters at this point, I don't know. I'm not plugged in on that side of things, but as far as the president and Luck at this point, they don't have anything. They have, at least not publicly, any concerns. So, and at the same time, there's been no proverbial vote of confidence thing come out, which that's a kiss of death. But there really hasn't been said anything about from any of those that side of the fence.
Yeah, well, actually, that might be a good sign. It seems to me that every time an AD or somebody comes out and says, hey, there's no problems here, and then 3 weeks later he's getting off the bus and he's fired.
That's the exact same thing as what I was thinking.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the other thing is you guys have probably played as tough a Big 12 schedule as anybody so far, LSU, Baylor, and Texas Tech.
Every team we've faced has been undefeated ranked so far.
Yeah.
So... That was another point that our play-by-play made when he came out here and called, gave a little speech at the local booster club. He said, as bad as it, that Baylor game, because he came right after the Baylor game, as bad as it is, you got to realize we've already played the worst part of the schedule at this point. Not that Texas Tech was any slouch, and obviously they weren't, but they weren't. Heck, at this point, they're a top 10 team, too.
Yeah, so that's crazy.
I think I saw somewhere before the Texas Tech game, we had played the sixth toughest schedule in the country.
Wow. And that's with a terrible non-conference schedule, too.
Exactly. And it was terrible.
Yeah. So, yeah. And we thought K-State, so the first six games were pretty tough. It's kind of downhill for us, but... You guys have it even better. So, but then I guess turn off of that. Looking at the Big 12, you've seen the Big 12's best teams. How do you think that race is going to shape up?
I don't see anybody beating Baylor at this point. The only team that has the athletes, I think, that can even come close to running with them defensively with their offense might be Oklahoma, but that's still going to take a special effort from them to do it.
Yeah.
It's gonna take a special effort from Oklahoma and a really off game from Baylor. The game that I watched parts of your all's game with them, and balls. I mean, they had absolutely no business catching against us. They were like fingertips, like 2 inches from the ground. They were pulling up and running 50 yards with them.
Yeah,
I don't know if it was just they were out of sync or things that was dialed up by your defense, but they just weren't quite the same against you all, and they struggled, but yet they still had how many quick strike scores of 50 yards? I mean,
yeah, three of them at least.
Yeah, I think it was three.
Yeah,
that was as impressive as a football team that I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, they're pretty crazy. That game with you guys, I thought for sure that whole mess with them scoring, 35 points in the first quarter was going to be over with. And I was joking with my friend as we were watching the first part of the game, and I was like, hey, we're 3 minutes in and Baylor hasn't scored yet. Then they, of course, right after that, scored a touchdown.
Yep.
And it's crazy.
I'd love to see a game with them and Oregon.
Yeah,
that would be a fun game to watch.
Especially after that crap that Oregon's defensive coordinator pulled this weekend.
I
don't either.
I mean, Leach has done that forever. What makes you think he has changed for you?
Yeah, he left his defensive starters in against Idaho and beating them 42-0 to secure the shutout.
The other great thing about that is it would keep SEC team out of the championship. Unless it's Missouri, that'd be kind of funny.
That's funny. Missouri's making me laugh all over the place this year.
I saw
to come to the Big 12 and go into the SEC and have that much success that quickly.
Yeah, I saw the opening line though. They're still like 7-point underdogs against South Carolina.
So, at home?
Yeah,
man, that's crazy.
But go figure.
But then again, up on the 17.5 point spread with you all and Baylor was crazy too. But
wasn't it 27?
No. It was 17.
Yeah, it was 17 and a half, and it looked like easy. I mean, no offense to y'all, but that just looked like easy money for taking, and I'll be damned if it didn't. They didn't cover.
Yeah.
And and after that, I looked at the Iowa State spread, the over-under, and I thought for sure, you take the under on that, because Iowa State, is somewhat similar to us. And nope. They kept it up. I mean, real easy.
Any of the Vegas guys come up with, they're right more times than they're wrong.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts. What's the line on our game this weekend? Is I think it was,
that seemed to set up manageable third downs, and went away from that in that third, at the end of the third and end of the fourth quarter, and it bit us in the rear end. But at the same time, we've got three running backs that really get the bulk of the carries, which we've got the Sims kid that transferred in from Houston, who's a really great talent, but I've never seen anybody try to run outside as much as he does and then dance and dance and dance and then get back.
Mm-hmm.
If you pay attention to him running against you all this week, if he can't make that corner, he starts to make a cut, then he hesitates again, then they catch him. I don't know what he's trying to do or why, or it's very frustrating because you see the talent he has, and if he gets in the open, if he can get in the open field, he's dangerous. But I've yet to see him really get to the open field except for one time this year. And that was, I can't even remember who that was again. I think that was against William and Mary, the very first game. Then we got Dremius Smith, who was a JUCO, who originally started at Kansas a few years back, if I'm not mistaken. He's shown some real promise in being able, when he makes a cut, he makes the cut, hits the hole, and goes.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what Sims needs to get through his head, and I don't know what's going on there. He's doing real well with that, and then you've got Wendell Smallwood's doing the same thing. He hasn't gotten as many carries the last couple of weeks. It's been mostly Smith and Sims, but Wendell Smallwood, he's going to be another one to watch. But if he gets a chance, he's had some blocking problems. And that's saying it, and I think that's the same thing with Dremius Smith, why he hasn't gotten as many carries. Wendell Smith, he's gotten thrown into the kickoff return lately and making some questionable decisions about which ones to bring out, which that's neither here nor there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But Smith and Sims, I mean, both averaging about 5 yards per carry, that seems pretty respectable.
Yeah, they're, like I said, but for some reason, Sims would be even better if he just, like I said, make the cut and go. But he's wanting to dance too much, and he's paying the price for it.
Yeah.
And so is the offense.
Well, I think we're about a half hour now. Derek, you got anything else to add?
No, I think I'm about ready to wrap it up.
All right. Well, Mark, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right. Sounds good. Hopefully you'll have a good game this weekend. And all you listeners, we'll hope to be back next week for before the Iowa State game. It's Aaron Alley signing off.